Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Well, from Alexa to Siri and Google Assistant, smart speakers have made their way into our daily lives. But technology meant to add efficiency and convenience can come with some kinks that can feel like we're speaking different languages at times, especially when you throw in a curveball of imaginative and crafty children. NPR White House correspondent Tamara Keith knows this all too well. Her son, Davis, found a way to outsmart not only the speaker, but parents. And these escapades were the perfect inspiration for a children's book. Tamara and her son are the authors of Claire and the Eager Speaker, a read-along picture book with anecdotes many families can relate to. The book is available starting today. And with that, Tamara, thank you for joining us. Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's great to be with you.
So this is a children's book involving a smart, playful child named Claire, who takes advantage of all the possibilities offered by a smart speaker. The inspiration for the book began in your home. When and how did it begin to take shape?
Right. So as the subtitle of the book says, this is loosely based on a true story. But when my son, Davis, who is co-author of the book, was about four or five, he discovered that our smart speaker has a shopping list function, and he started adding a lot of inappropriate things to the shopping list, a lot of poop, varieties of poop.
How do you add poop to a shopping list? Is that like manure or...
Well, that was one of the things that we had to puzzle through with this book, because Claire adds poop to the shopping list. And I, you know, take this book to the illustrator, and the illustrator is rightfully puzzled as to how we're supposed to illustrate poop. She ended up with truckloads of manure, which is much easier on the eyes, certainly. But so Davis put all these things on the shopping list, like poop and cookies and inexplicably cocaine, which he did not know, still doesn't really know what cocaine is. But I think he was trying to say cookies. And as are the perils of a not so smart speaker, it heard cocaine. So I go to look up the shopping list, and there's just like poop, cookies, cocaine, Oreos, like a television. There's just all this random stuff on the shopping list. And so we decided to write a book where we play it out to its most extreme conclusion.
Yeah, you're talking about a wide array of crazy items that are added to your shopping list. Was there a specific moment in the series of unexpected additions where you were like, oh, we have to write a book about this?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how the germ of the book writing got started, but it was essentially, I think it was the moment where cocaine showed up, where I was just like, okay, this is insanity. And this very silly little boy of mine has a lot of fun ideas. And so we developed Claire's shopping list together. He said that he wanted the character to be named Claire. He said he wanted it to be a girl. We have a neighbor named Clara, so maybe that's where it came from. But the shopping list includes all kinds of exceedingly silly things, including a pink Tesla with rocket boosters, a rainbow unicorn minivan, sparkly stickers, a mini fridge. Davis, not Claire, is still trying to get a mini fridge.
A mini fridge.
We have our settings strong. He will not be able to purchase that on his own. Bendy straws, a llama, 1,000 pianos, lots and lots of presents. Why not? When you are imagining without consequence, why not put everything on your shopping list? But in this book, there are, in fact, some consequences.
Yeah, it's like a burst of confetti with all these fun, very visual items. I have a visual image of a pink Tesla with rocket boosters now that I can't get out of my head. What was the experience of working and collaborating with your son?
Yeah, it was a great experience. It was also a trying experience. He would say it was boring. I continued to just marvel at his incredible creativity. At one point, we're trying to figure out how to get a golden retriever puppy into the book. And I'm like, I don't know how we're going to do this. I want it to make logical sense. And he's like, well, why don't we just ask the speaker for golden delicious apples? And then, of course, the speaker mishears it. and you end up with a puppy. So it was wonderful watching his wheels turn and come up with ideas that I never would have come up with on my own. And it was also, I think, a valuable lesson for him in editing and sticking with something. I mean, we've been working on this for years, getting feedback from book editors and others and copy editing that went way beyond copy editing. And just like this extensive project of writing and revising and revising and revising again, which I think is something that kids often don't really learn about. Like,
yeah, even in college, not. You don't even experience it. Even as a journalist, it can be just be so so exhausting when you're going right back to the drawing board and things get whittled down and, you know, and shape shift and all that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a valuable lesson. Also, you know, there was a little rejection built in, and that also is valuable.
What do you want families to take away from the book?
So I think there are a few things. One, technology is great, but it has its risks. I, like everyone else, maybe not, I, like many people, ask my smart speaker to play NPR. We ask our smart speaker to play rock and roll. We have a lot of fun with it. But at the same time, there are risks about having this thing in your life listening, about the sort of consumerism of having something just so easily available that you could accidentally end up with it. And how many stories have there been about kids accidentally ordering 1,000 cheeseburgers or whatever it is? So there's an element of be careful what you wish for. There's an element of, you know, parents do have to say no for a reason sometimes. And that, you know, wanting something is not the same as needing something. But I also think there's a message for parents in here too, because everything on the shopping list was ordered in part because of a little inattentiveness from the parents. And haven't we all been a little inattentive from time to time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Usually you don't end up with two cars, a llama, and like truckloads of manure on top of your house. But anything's possible.
Anything is possible. It can be a slippery slope, you know? So, and that is quite the slippery slope. You know, I want to get back to you, your experience previously. You worked for KQED, so you worked in California. Anything you miss? What did you love most about covering California?
Well, not only did I work for KQED, I also worked for KPCC, and I shared offices with Capital Public Radio.
Oh, that's great.
At their Capital Bureau at the time. So I have a strong love for Capital Public Radio. I miss a lot about California, and although I have sort of mixed feelings about the current heat wave, because I'm having memories of previous heat waves that I lived through in California where I heartily said, but at least it's a dry heat.
Right.
But I think even that isn't the case this time.
When it's 115, it's 115. So,
yeah, it doesn't matter how dry it is. That's a sauna. But, you know, I miss the beauty of California. I miss just the incredible stories that California has to tell. And also in terms of politics and policy, California is often ahead of the rest of the country. And, you know, it's really a laboratory for policies that will become national policies, particularly with environmental regulations and guidelines. And I enjoyed seeing what was coming, living in the future, if you will.
Yeah. Nation state, as our governor has coined. Well, I'm not going to let you get away with a little D.C. talk, because you've been the White House correspondent since 2014. You're now on your third president, from Obama to Trump and now Biden. Do you ever just slow down and take stock of everything that you've covered and witnessed in just 8 years? Because those 8 years probably feel like a blink in some moments.
Right. It really... what is that phrase? Like the longest, shortest time? The days can be exceedingly long. The weeks can be exceedingly long. And then you blink and an administration is over. Or, the thing that I kind of can't get over with this job is I went to apply for like Global Entry or something, where I had to list all the countries I had been to. And I had forgotten countries. Traveling with the president, you go so many places, you see so many things. I get to ride in motorcades, but you know, it's not like it's my motorcade. You see everything, you experience nothing, and often I'm motion sick the whole time.
That's a good way to put it. Seeing everything, yes, but not experiencing it.
Not experiencing it. And pounding out a spot on a laptop, trying to file from a van, racing down the freeway while people are stuck in traffic on the other side because you're in a motorcade.
Is Air Force One different from one president to the next? And are masks still required?
You know, I haven't been on in the last little bit, so I don't know if masks are still required. They're obviously not required in the briefing room anymore. And I think it's sort of a mixed bag. But no, Air Force One is Air Force One, and it is incredibly cool. It is just like, there are so many things that are overrated. Air Force One is just so cool. It's just a very big plane. The food is terrific. I mean, it's not regular airplane food. There's a basket of candy. There's tiny little Tabasco bottles with the presidential seal on them. And all of those transfer from administration to administration. The only thing that changes is the presidential signature on the box of M&Ms.
Got it. What's unique about Biden's presidency? Obviously, clearly different from Trump, but what about when compared to Obama when he was VP?
You know, every president is different. Every administration is different. They all have a different approach. President Obama his administration was incredibly disciplined. President Trump's administration was the opposite. He liked the instability. He fostered the instability. He tried to create the instability because he felt that that gave him an advantage. And President Biden, his administration is not quite as disciplined as the Obama administration, but it does have a lot of the same people who were part of the Obama administration. And I think, you know, like, I'm still trying to get a sense, I realize it's been almost 2 years, but of exactly how Biden is operating. There have been times where it seems like he's not getting anything he wants and everything is going against him. And then next thing you know, Congress like passes a huge piece of climate legislation and he gets all these bipartisan bills and suddenly everything that looked like it was failing was succeeding. And I will say that Biden's been in politics so long and he was in the Senate for such a long time. He plays a long game in a way that certainly President Trump and even President Obama before him. Biden seems unbothered by short-term failures because of that sort of long game experience of working for years, for instance, to get the assault weapons ban.
Yeah. How would you gauge the Biden administration's confidence level then at this point in his presidency, you know, given that polling isn't really in his favor?
Yeah, polling is not great. It's improving. It has improved probably in reverse proportion to gas prices, which have come down in recent weeks. I realize they are still completely insane in California, but gas prices are much improved nationwide. The average is well below $4 a gallon now, which is a dramatic improvement. And I think they are fairly confident. But, you know, like...
Right.
Yeah, who cares if you're confident? What do you get next? And certainly if they were to lose the House or were to lose the Senate or both, it would dramatically change the Biden presidency from here on out.
Well, Tamara, thank you so much for joining us. And I do want to give a plug to the Bad News Babes, which is a media softball team that you compete in once a year against female members of Congress. It's an annual benefit for breast cancer awareness. I want to get that in before
yes,
we say goodbye. That is NPR White House correspondent Tamara Keith. Her children's book, Claire and the Eager Speaker, is available starting today. That is it for Inside. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.